Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome to the Press Box. It's our fifth show. I'm going to hand it over to Greg. He's going to intro us. Greg?
Oh, hey guys. So, it's been a rough week for me. So, I'm a little down, to say the least.
What's got you down, Greg?
I don't want to talk about it. We'll get into it later.
Stay tuned.
I don't really want to intro, to be honest. You kind of just threw this on me.
Yep.
Josh, you want to say something? Because I'm kind of just not really doing anything here.
Yeah, sure. Welcome to our fifth show. Today we got some big things for you. We have our first special guest, Catley Joseph. He plays at the University of Maine right now as a defensive back. We'll be talking some NBA, NHL, the classic, and as well we'll get into why Greg's feeling a little down. So
can we just mention one thing real quick?
Yeah, what's up?
There's four of us in the room right now.
Oh my goodness!
That's the first time for everything.
First time in like 3 weeks.
I'm Tyler. I'm with Greg and Aaron and Josh. That's right. Aaron is here.
Woo!
Aaron, it's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's very nice to see you.
Did you have a good break?
I did have a good break.
We missed you.
Learned a lot.
Nice. Missed you a lot.
What did you learn?
A lot.
That's what I like to hear.
Like what? Like what? That
so
you need
many.
That you need snow tires to drive in Ottawa?
Yeah.
Yeah, you learned that one. Okay.
You figured that one out.
It's not good.
All right, well, welcome to the Press Box. We're going to move on to the junior hockey and local sports conversation, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the Press Box. We're going to talk about some junior hockey, some local sports here in the city of Ottawa. Who wants to start us off? Should I?
Go for it.
Okay, I'm going to start us off with the Canadian Central Hockey League. We got a lot of games this weekend. It's going to be a bit of a rocky weekend, especially for the Raiders, the team that we do here at CKDJ. We got a Friday night game between the Renfrew Wolves and the Brockville Braves, I believe they are. We've got a Friday night game with the Nepean Raiders going to Hawkesbury. That's going to be so fun. Get to take the bus alone, guys. It's going to be wonderful. Friday as well, we got Kempville versus Smith Falls in Smith Falls. And Pembroke versus Navin in Navin, as well as Carleton Place in Rockland. And then the next games aren't until Saturday or Sunday. There's no Saturday games this weekend. But let's talk about the Raiders a little bit. From what you guys have seen and what you guys have heard, how do you guys feel about the Raiders' standing, season, and where it's leading so far?
For me, it kind of looks like their season's getting to that point where it's in jeopardy. They, you know, we were talking about this before the game last week when we commentated it, that they had to get going. It started with the game in
Rockland
game. They had to win that game. They're both teams were sitting at pretty much the same record, and they dropped that game after having a great start. They cannot play 60 minutes of hockey. It's pretty unfortunate, but hopefully they can maybe get the second half of the season going, but I don't think they're going to have a playoff spot this year.
Yeah, and a new goaltender for the Raiders as well, Nathan Loisel. Is there anything you can tell me about him, Josh?
He's good, but I mean, it's kind of unfortunate for him because his defense hasn't been too hot since he's gotten there. He's done his best to keep them in games, but their defense just kind of lets too many people in the open slot. So it's, it's not looking too good for him.
Aaron, you had a point? Or?
Yeah, I guess just kind of going about like their seasons that, you know, there's teams that aren't doing that much better than them that they can still kind of catch up to, you know? Like, it's a pretty top-heavy division, especially the Yzerman division as it is. You know, Ottawa's 19 wins. Hawkesbury and Navan both have 14. But then it drops down to 8 wins and 6 wins, which the Raiders are at. So, you know, if they can pick up some, they can at least, I don't think they're going to catch the top teams, but they can move up the rankings and kind of get a, like, middle of the pack.
Yeah, and it just takes a couple games, right? They're in the perfect division. They're 6-17-1 right now, the Raiders. They've got 13 points. And the next best team is Cornwall with 19, and then it's Rockland with 19. But, Josh, that's why we sort of talked about how if Nepean wanted to make up some ground, Rockland was the place to do it because Rockland is in fourth place. They're currently technically in a playoff spot in their division. So now that Nepean's lost that game, what do you think that means for the team? How do you think they feel?
Oh, their motivation's definitely down. You know, they come out, they play a good first period, and then they lose all sense of urgency going into the rest of the game. They just seem like they go up early in the first, and they think that the game's done, that they already have it won, and then the team comes out, puts a beating on them, scores like 5 goals in two quarters, or like we saw with the junior sends, 12 goals in two periods. You know, it gets pretty bad.
Oh, man, don't remind me of that. That's pain. I had to watch that whole game. That was a gruesome game, too, because the rink was just freezing that day. And 14 goals. Like, the game's over. You know it's over, right? And you're just like, well, I got to wait till the last minute, right? So, no, I mean, Pembroke and Ottawa, they've been doing really good. Pembroke actually beat Ottawa last weekend. Is there anything you guys could tell me between that? Is there a little bit of a rivalry going on here for first place right now?
I mean, even with Pembroke picking up the W against the Ottawa Junior Senators, you know, they're still 5 points back, and they've played one more game than Ottawa. And, I mean, I don't know exactly how many games are in the season for the CCHL, but, you know, I know the
EOJHL there, the Junior B League, yeah.
I know the EOJHL, they're kind of coming close to wrapping up their season, only going through the rest of December. So it'll take mostly Ottawa kind of falling apart for them to lose first in the whole league.
So the CCHL is just hitting the halfway mark. There's about 54 games in the league. So, I mean, hey, listen, there's still half a season. And like we said, Nepean's not far off. They just need to get that fourth place in their division, right? So we're definitely going to see. Is there any other teams that have impressed you, Aaron, Josh?
I can't really say. You know, I'm kind of shocked that Brockville's actually doing as well as they are. They're only 1 point back from Pembroke. When we watched Pembroke in Pembroke, they looked really good. They looked like definitely the better team out of a lot of the other guys in the league. But it's kind of interesting to see some of these other teams in the other division really catching up to Pembroke for that first seed. So that division, I think, is going to be really fun to watch and keep an eye on. In terms of the Yasmin division, I really think the Junior Sens just kind of have it in the lock for one. It'll be kind of who makes that fourth seed, I guess, will be the interesting part of that division.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, Ottawa's sort of up there. I mean, I think they sort of deserve to be in first place right now, and it's quite a given, and I think it's going to stay that way. Anyway, well, get yourself some wings, get yourself some beer, and sit around
if
a
you're
couch.
Of age.
Drink responsibly.
Yes, drink responsibly. But
me and Tyler are not of age, so.
We're not of age, but you know what? Sit around a couch.
I'll be having some beers for sure.
Turn the fireplace on and turn on some Grey Cup action, because that's what's happening this weekend. So stay tuned. Anyway, this has been our junior hockey and local conversation. We're going to throw it to a break, and then we will be back with some National Football League conversation.
Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. I'm Tyler Sear, joined by Greg Avgaropoulos, Josh Pogratsege, and Aaron Zerfus. We're going to talk about some football. Greg, you want to moderate us here? Start us off?
Oh, I would love to, man.
All right.
All right. Josh is just looking at me with a big smile right now.
Let's
me happy.
Let's stay positive, okay? Let's stay positive. We get it.
It's a new week.
New week. Forget what happened on Monday.
It was only 2 days ago. It's a new week. Still depressed. So basically, we're going to do a little something different this week instead of doing picks for every game because I've been told that people don't like it. So, you know, not going to say who said that, but.
Greg is very cranky today, but you know what?
John. Okay, Tyler, it's my time to shine. Stop talking. All right.
I'm just going to sit here.
We're only going to talk about three games today because we're going to talk about three big games today instead of doing the whole slate. So our first game is the Dallas Cowboys versus the Washington football team. Washington is like the second or first hottest team in the NFL. I think they've won like 4 straight games, if I'm not mistaken, and they've been like they've looked really pretty good. To be honest, they've ran the ball well. Taylor Heineke's playing well. The defense has been good, and then the Cowboys, who they had a really good start to the season, been a little up and down since. I still think, the Cowboys are still a really good team. I know people like to hate on them because nobody likes. I mean, people like the Cowboys, but they like to hate on them because they're the most popular team, but. I think they're still Super Bowl contenders. They've had some struggles, but Yeah, in this game, I mean, I'm pretty sure the Cowboys are favored by 4 points. I'll take the Cowboys in this game. I think Washington's win streak ends here. And I just don't think they're skilled enough to keep up with the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, for me, everyone knows here, I'm a big Cowboys fan. We were back on track last week after dropping 2 games in a row to the Chiefs and Raiders, and we beat the Saints. So I'm hoping that this week we come in looking like our regular form going into this last half of the season, because we have a lot of divisional games, and we do need to pick these up because Washington is kind of gaining on us. So if we drop this game and then we play them again in 2 weeks, so if we drop that game, it could end up being we're in the wild card and we don't have our favorable spot anymore. So hopefully, fingers crossed, Cowboys come out, play Cowboys football, and we get the dub.
Yeah, I mean, no, Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys just doing an excellent job right now. Dak Prescott playing really well as well. I mean, the Cowboys, a very popular team, like Greg said. They do kind of get hated on a lot, and I don't totally understand why. I mean, they got a beautiful stadium.
Oh, no, I get
stadium.
It. I get it, but...
I mean, it's comparable to the Pittsburgh Penguins a couple years ago. Everyone just hated Pittsburgh because they won 2 cups in a row, blah, 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 right? And they're like, oh, that's unfair. Our league's turning into the NBA.
The different thing with that is that
the Cowboys
don't win.
Yeah. They haven't won anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think they're going to win this game. In 2 weeks' time, though, I don't think they're going to win. I think Washington's going to come out in about 2 weeks, be upset because they lost to the Cowboys this week, and they're going to win it. So, no, I'm gonna say Cowboys win for sure this week, but it'll keep them first in the NFC East, and it'll definitely keep them their favorable spot for a while there. Josh, Aaron, anything?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of like looking into this game for this weekend, and it looks like both teams are kind of, I mean, the football team sounds silly to say,
the Washington,
but like their defense has really kind of taken a step forward in the last like half of the season, or quarter of the season, I guess. You know, so it'll be interesting to see if the Cowboys can do that. And, you know, Dallas, they put on a good show last week for their defense as well. So
without
it'll be
coaches. They really had no coaches on the sidelines.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how, like, if this is going to be like a every point matters type of game.
All right, the next game, the Bills versus the Buccaneers. I'm going to hand this one over to Greg because he's a Bills fan. I want to hear his thoughts on this.
He wants to talk about this.
All right, so we're going to talk about this even though I don't want to, but just because it's a big game. So the Bills, you know, last week they versus the Patriots. It was probably the biggest game of the season up to this point. They completely blew it, literally, because, I mean, there was a lot of wind. The weather really played a factor. The game style favored the Patriots because they're more of a run-heavy team and the Bills are more of a pass-heavy team. So, yeah, both defenses played really well the whole game. I mean, I don't want to say anything good about my defense because they you know, they can't stop the run that they know is coming from a mile away. But, you know, holding the other team to only 14 points, you know, your offense needs to help you out a little bit. There's a lot of mistakes, a lot of dropped balls, a lot of poor coaching decisions from Sean McDermott. I could rant all day about Sean McDermott, but I'm not going to do it. But, yeah, he made some questionable decisions, to say the least. And the Bucs, who did they face last week?
They played the Falcons last week?
They played the Falcons, and they beat him, obviously. I mean, the Falcons aren't good. But, yeah, the Bucs, week before, they went against the Colts. That was a really impressive win. Obviously, they have Tom Brady. He's been killing my team for years, so... I think he's like 32-2 all time against the Bills. So, safe to say, I'm terrified. Well, once again, I'm not encouraged from what I saw this week. I don't know how we're gonna do going into next week. Let's hope we can win the game. The offense is gonna be better because they're playing in Tampa, so the weather's not gonna be as bad, and we can actually throw the ball a bit more.
But then again, you're going to Tampa.
Yeah, which I'm saying is favors our offense because we can actually pass the ball. We can't run the ball.
So. Yeah. So, no, I don't have much to say about this game other than the fact that, I'm gonna throw it out there. The Bills need a new stadium.
We mentioned that on the
They need a dome.
Just get a dome, and then you can have a Super Bowl too.
The people that say that Buffalo shouldn't get a dome are just absolute morons in my opinion because, you know. We're a passing team. We can't run the ball. I don't know why you guys think we can pass the ball in snow and wind. It's not going to happen. But, yeah, they're like, oh, no, the real, you know, football conditions. I'm like, you know what? no other places like Buffalo. Like, Buffalo has the most unpredictable weather on planet Earth. It could be sunny one day, and then it could be, like the wind was blowing over porta-potties in the parking lot during that game. That's how strong it was. Like, it was, the uprights were moving every time a kicker would come. Like, it was crazy. But, yeah, I mean, I think they should get a dome. Obviously, you still need to play in those conditions in when you're in the playoffs, but it's definitely not that bad. It's just cold and snowy, which is whatever. But, yeah, there's my rant for the day.
All yeah, right. Well, back to the Bills versus the Buccaneers, I guess. You know, but, yeah.
Looks to be my bad, like boys went off topic right there. I had to get my emotions up.
No, it's okay. This is a good spot for you.
That was only 10% of my emotions.
It's a safe place, Craig. It's a safe place.
Honestly, should we just, like, move on? I think enough's been said.
All right.
Yeah,
all
who
right.
cares anymore?
Eric, we're going to start you off with the Cardinals versus the Rams.
Oh, no, this is actually a really big game because the Cardinals beat the Rams a few weeks ago. Divisional matchup. The Cardinals have probably... They have the best record in the NFL right now. I think they're like 9-2, 10-2. They've been really playing really well, and they finally got Kyler Murray back, finally got DeAndre Hopkins back. Their defense has been really good the whole season. And it's gonna be interesting to see because in the NFC, the Rams are also right there with them. I mean, obviously they've had a few bad weeks. Maybe they can get back up there. They had a big win against the Jaguars this week, but I mean that's not saying too much anyway. But I mean, I don't want to talk about the Jaguars, but the Rams, this is a huge game for them because they already lost to them once, as I said. I don't know if they can beat them, to be honest. I think the Cardinals might just be better than them. I hope the Rams win just to make the series split. But, yeah, I'm going to take the Cardinals in this game. I just think they're a better football team as of right now.
Sees me raise my hand, immediately changes his decision.
I didn't see anything. I'm saying what I say.
Aaron? I mean, yeah, I'm for sure. These teams are different than when they first met up, you know, so... I don't know. The last time it was kind of a blowout for the Cardinals, but this time I think it's going to be a close game either way.
And, you know, last week Odell got his second touchdown. As a Ram, and he had to self-revive on himself. So we'll see if that actually did anything for him. But I think Cardinals are going to win this game. I think the Cardinals, for me, are one of the best teams in football. I think they can go far if they can stay healthy because I know they've had a lot of injuries in the last few weeks. So now that they have Kyler back, Hopkins back, I think that – you know, it's going to be pretty easy for them to get this dub.
Listen, both these teams can go very far, but you know what? Go Rams. The Rams are winning this one. I'm sorry. And you know what? I'm not choosing the Lions this week. I chose the Lions last week, and they actually won. I had to mention that. Okay. I'm just saying.
We've been through this. I don't have anything to say.
Yeah.
Tyler's from the future. We get it.
I am.
It took him 4 predictions to finally get one right.
I'm back from the future. All right, well, this has been our NFL conversation. We're going to move over to the NBA. Josh, you want to open us off here?
Yeah, so the big news in the NBA this week is that the Indiana Pacers are looking to move their big 3 pieces, in my opinion, besides Brogdon. They're looking to move Miles Turner, DeMontis Sabonis, and Caris LeVert. I think this is very interesting because me and my friend actually talked about this like 2 weeks ago about how should Indiana look to just be that team that's going to make like the 7th seed and just kind of accept the fact that that's Indiana basketball, that they played good team basketball, but they're never going to be anything other than that. Or are they going to look to blow it up and go for a true rebuild? And it looks like they're kind of taking that approach. So I just want to see, like, where do you guys think that they could end up? I think Miles Turner, I personally think he's going to go to Boston. There's been rumors around it for a very long time. But Sabonis and Caris LeVert, 2 big pieces that can kind of end up anywhere. Anyone have any idea of where they'd like to see them go or what teams you think they could actually throw a good package at Indiana to make it intriguing for them? A team that, you know, a lot of people are going to get mad when I say this, the Golden State Warriors have potential to make a move for any of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
With James Wiseman and Jordan Poole even, Kuminga, the guy from the G League, all those guys can get moved for any of these dudes. And that's kind of scary to me because if they pick up a guy like DeMontis Sabonis at the 5, who's like a win now guy, helps stretch the floor, he can put the ball on the ground, pass, does it all, I think that's very scary for the league. And, you know, I don't think they really want to wait on James Wiseman to be healthy and good. So that's very possible. Aaron, do you have any teams?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of hard looking at it for them because, like, Indiana, you know, I think despite the fact that they're, you know, they're going through the rebuild, they're going to have to blow up everything that they can. They're not in a rush to move anyone, you know, like it's not like they can control kind of how long it goes. And with that, I think, you know, they can wait till they find an offer that fits them. And they don't seem to care what team they send them off to. I've seen that they're going to, you know, they're okay sending it, you know, within the division or to rivals or whoever it may be. So I think that's good. And, you know, you just got to be patient right now if you're a Pacers fan.
Absolutely.
Here's what I'll say about this, about trading Sabonis. I mean, I think they just signed him to a big deal like 2 years ago, I want to say. Like,
yeah.
4 years, like 75, 77, something like that. You know,
I mean, yeah.
77 mil for 4 years. So basically, I think they should build around. Like, I think he's the piece they should build around. I think he's their. I don't want to say quote unquote star because he's not a star, but he's. I mean, he's his whole career has been solid. Obviously, he's been a good player. I actually really like the way he plays. Miles Turner has been there forever. It feels like now, and he's not really. He just doesn't seem like he wants to be there anymore. He wants to leave. I think, but yeah, Sabonis is the piece I think they should build around. He's a free agent in 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's their young guy. He's been good for them. He's been good throughout his whole career so far. I think he was drafted by OKC. He got traded there. And I think, like, I mean, I think they should build around him if they're going to rebuild, because he's their cornerstone, in my opinion. But, I mean, if they want to trade him, I mean, I guess. But
I think the Indiana Pacers just need something new to call Indiana basketball. This is, I mean, it's not gone anywhere kind of thing. And they need a new face to the organization right now, and they don't have that yet. So I'm not surprised that they're going with the rebuild route to try and find that, right? So
absolutely. And the last thing I want to just chime in there, another team that I'd keep an eye out for is Philadelphia, with the Ben Simmons saga still going on there. They very well might find this package finally to get him out of there and into Indiana. I kind of like that. Portland, another team that I think could make a trade for Sabonis, because I know Damian Lillard really wants someone that's going to be able to help him stretch the floor offensively, as well as a pretty decent defender who Sabonis isn't that bad. You know, he's pretty tall guy, lanky, so he can defend the rim decently. Even Miles Turner, they could go pick him up. So lots of options there for Indiana and other teams in the league. And next up, we got Fred VanVleet. Do you guys think he's an all-star this season?
I certainly think he's the Raptors' best player right now, without a doubt. I mean, it's kind of clear and open. Hasn't Siakam had an all-star game already?
He did the year I think Kawhi was there. He had an all-star season. And
he started.
He was, since then, though, he's been pretty up and down since Kawhi's left. And I think that's just because he doesn't have the luxury of playing with Kawhi or Kyle Lowry anymore. So he's no longer like the third option. Now every team's game plan is focused around stopping Siakam. So that's been pretty tough for him since Kawhi has left. So
I have an opinion on this.
Let's go.
So I don't think he is. I think everybody's gassing him up to be. I mean, I've watched the Raptors my whole life. I've been a Raptors fan my whole life. I watched almost every one of their games every year except for this year. I've kind of been a little off them this year just because I don't really like the team too much. But VanVleet, I've watched him play for so many years now. It's been probably like 5 years he's been on the team. All the Raptors fans love him. I think he's so overrated. I think, like, he's good. Don't get me wrong. He only averages, like, yeah, almost 20 a game, 5 and 6, something like that. But he's, the thing that I really don't like about him is his decision-making. Like, his decision-making is just, his IQ isn't there sometimes. Like, if it's a close game late in the game, he wants the ball every time. He wants to take the last shot, even if it's a fadeaway over a 7-footer. He will take it. He doesn't care. His shot IQ isn't good. His court awareness isn't the best sometimes. And, yeah, his situational awareness isn't good either. So, and there's also just guys way more skilled than him, in my opinion. Like, at guard especially. Like, point guard's such a dominant position nowadays.
Yeah, no.
Like,
but
I don't think he's, like, he's good. I think he's good. Obviously, I'm going to say he's good. I'm a Raptors fan, but.
But Josh has
so overrated, in my opinion.
Josh has a point in terms of the country. Yeah? Like, he's definitely going to make it in terms of voting, for sure.
Well, it all depends, because that's if we vote him in as a starter. If not, then it's up to the coaches and players to vote him in and the media. So that's where, you know, it gets tricky. Like, Canada has to unite as one and get him in the starting spot. Yeah, starting spot, sorry. But that's the hard thing. He's up against the likes of Trae Young, LaMelo Ball, who's a lock all-star this year.
The star power.
Yeah, like just a bunch of true stars. Kyle Lowry, even, he might get a nod this season. Yeah, there's lots of guys out there. Tyrese Maxey's been having a career year. Garland's been playing really well. So, like, there's lots of guards out there that will definitely compete. But I just think that, you know, I personally think that he will be an all-star, especially if they continue to string wins together. He's definitely going to be the reason that they will be considered one.
Right on. Well, this has been our NFL and NBA conversation. We're going to throw it to a break, and then we'll be right back with our National Hockey League conversation. And we got a bit of an interesting hot topic for you this week, so stay tuned.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to CKDJ 107.9's The Press Box. I'm Tyler Sear, joined by Greg Avgaropoulos, Aaron Surface, and Josh McGrath Segang. We're going to talk about the National Hockey League here. Aaron, do you want to moderate us?
Yeah, let's get into it. So today, we're going to get into the biggest surprise teams and the biggest disappointment amongst NHL teams. So, starting things off with a surprise. You know, teams are doing better than expected. Kind of came up with some off the top of my head. You know, the Wild being the best team in the West. Maybe best team in the NHL. The Rangers kind of coming up through the Metro, as Metro is always a terrible, hard division, and they're sticking their own. Calgary, Daryl Sutter's got them playing. Or is it? Daryl Sittler's got them playing good defensive hockey, and Florida, who is good, but is just looking dominant so far.
I think I'm going to have to disagree with you on the fact that that's a surprise. I mean,
yeah, but
Florida,
like,
was supposed to be as good as they are, and they are as good as they are. I mean
Bobrovsky's kind of coming up. Like, there are surprises with Florida.
There's definitely a surprise in net. I mean, Spencer Knight and Bobrovsky are actually playing good now. That's the difference. But I expected them. And Greg feels the same way about this. I thought they should have beat Tampa in that first series last year.
I wanted them to.
That would have been awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, all right. Biggest disappointments as well, Aaron?
Biggest disappointments, we got the Canucks, the Islanders, although, you know, they definitely got their reasons for being as bad as they are.
They have excuses.
They have excuses, but they're still a disappointment.
They
suck. Like,
Greg, you can't just say they suck. They don't suck.
I don't like the Islanders.
On paper, they are still a Stanley Cup contending hockey team.
On paper, they are also in last place. So, the Metro.
Yeah, I know, but I haven't had half that paper. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't had Anders Lee. They haven't had Anthony Beauvillier. They haven't had Paul Mary. Like, it's and they didn't have a home rink for like 15 games.
Like, that's the biggest reason.
Then again, like, I heard Brian Whitney talking about this the other day. Like, that's their problem. That's not the National Hockey League's problem. Rink wasn't ready.
I agree.
That should not be an excuse. I mean, it is a reason, but it should not be an excuse for you to not have, like, oh, we didn't have a home game. Yeah, you didn't have a rink.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that our problem, kind of thing, right? So, yeah, I mean, I don't know about that one, but the injury one for sure. I mean, that's just an unfortunate start to the season for the Islanders. And it's not like they've been playing bad hockey. It's just they've been playing short hockey, right? So
Yeah. Our teams being the Canucks, obviously, they've just fired their coach, brought in Bruce Boudreau.
I think they're about to pop off.
Bruce is a great coach. I love him.
He is a great coach. I just don't think he can take them where
not
they
this
want
year.
Him to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they can do it ever. Like, I think it's going to be second round out.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Washington, Bruce.
And the rebuild is over for the Senators, right? Is it? Is this the 4 years of unprecedented success?
It's going to be like this forever.
It's going to be like this for at least another season for sure. You know, I know Tyler, he's going to come out and say, well, they had COVID, this and that, but dude,
they sent their starting goalie into the AHL.
No, that's not an excuse. I mean, COVID, yeah, I get it. It might. I don't know how much it's affected our team in terms of fitness. It doesn't really look like it's affected our team. Mostly it's our systems. They're terrible. And listen,
this is the first time
Greg,
he's saying this, for the record. This is the first time he's admitted it.
No, listen, Greg is going to disagree with me completely. He has so many times. But on paper, the Sens are good. They just haven't been able to translate it to the ice. He's laughing.
How can you say the Sens are good?
On paper?
On paper.
Because you look at their prospects and who's playing for them, and they do have a good team. They lack down the middle. Their systems aren't there, and their coaching, I'm sorry, but it's, other than DJ Smith, it's terrible. Like, we don't have a good assistant coach. We don't have good trainers. Our equipment manager he's okay. He's been there for 1,500 games. But DJ Smith is, right now, he was a good coach a year ago.
Hold up. Wait, Andrew. Are we judging a team off their equipment manager right now?
If only they had a better equipment manager.
Sticks would be more taped better. Skates would be sharpened more. Damn.
Listen, I'm just saying he's the only good other piece of that coaching staff. Like, He is part of the coaching staff. He can't. He's the only other good piece. DJ and him, and even DJ is really lacking. There's too much accountability in that room right now, and these kids are 20. Like, you know what I mean? You can't just put it all on Tim Stutzle. Oh, you're not scoring.
But also, like, so we've talked about this like a lot in this last week, where your like judgment is like, if you're the younger you are, the least expected you're to be good. So isn't that like contradictive to what you believe?
Well, so
you're saying like literally, if you're older, then you're automatically better at hockey. So they're a young team; they're supposed to be bad.
Well, no, great point from Josh.
What I'm saying.
That's a good question, Josh.
If you're definitely older, you've definitely been playing hockey longer. But that being said. There's a lot of people who compare Kaprizov to Stutzla. What I want to do is
define a lot for me. What? I haven't heard it personally.
Well, it's always on social media. They always compare the two because they were in the Calder Cup race last year, right? So, I mean, I wouldn't compare those two until Stutzla turns 24. And then I compare their 24 season. But okay. Even that's a little inaccurate because that means Stutzla's been playing in the NHL longer than Kaprizov. But Kaprizov's been playing professional hockey longer than Stutzla has. Because he was playing in the KHL, correct? Yep. So, yep. I mean, yes, Stutzla was, and Stutzla people think Stutzla's only played 2 years. He's actually played 4 years of professional hockey. Played in the DAL for 2 years. Yeah, it's not great hockey, but it's professional hockey.
It's against men,
playing with men, right? So, I don't know. It's definitely a hard comparison. But, listen, we got a good team. We're lacking down the middle. And another thing to mention, last year when we went on that long winning streak, we were 9-1-0 in our last 10 games of the season. We had Colin White. We had Shane Pinto. We had Stutzla, Brady, Batherson, Norris. We had Tierney as our fourth line center. Tierney's our like third or second line center right now. Tierney's on the power play. Tierney is not supposed to be on the power play. We're not getting Colin White back until like February. Pinto just had surgery. He's out for 4 to 6 months. Like, we picked up Adam Gaudette, who needs to slowly make his way back to playing condition and down the middle. And Gambrell sucks. I don't know why we picked him up, but.
And just quickly, also, you back to your Minnesota team.
Yeah,
the best. I want to hear these arguments about how they are the best team in the NHL. Well, give Tyler the hot seat for a bit, but.
Let's get into it. You know, top in the West, the entire West, you know, points, point percentage, 37 points, 25 games. And we just took out Toronto. Well, we tied against Toronto, won the skills comp.
No, you won.
We won. Yeah. We won. And then it's
terrible way to win a hockey game, but
we did win it.
Yeah, you won.
We took out, you know, we're 1-1 against Tampa. We lost a close one to Florida, but, you know, that's Florida. And then we go and we beat Edmonton 4-1 Tuesday night. And, you know, really, like, we're streaking. We're getting production up and down. We're near the top of the league in goals forward. And we're doing all of this good stuff without our, you know, number one D-man and captain, Jared Spurgeon. So, you know, he gets back. And, I don't know, like, do I think Ryan Hartman's going to be able to produce a 30, 40-goal season? Probably not. But Fiala...
You got a couple really good guys. Like,
yeah. We got a style of hockey that is just not really prevalent in
teams. The good Ottawa Senators. You are. You play similar to them. You're good at it.
In my experience watching Ottawa Senators games, Minnesota throughout their 20-year franchise history has been known as like a team with good systems, good defensive structure.
Exactly.
When's the last time Ottawa has been described as having a good defensive structure?
You just said Minnesota is the exact team to not be considered for that. Bad systems, bad defensive, no?
No, we're always like Jacques Lemaire, Todd Richardson. Oh. We're always
okay.
Like our defensive zone coverage, you know, our D-men right now, half of them are Kulikov, Ben, and Merrill. And we're leading the league in like points by defensemen and, you know, having basically no rebound chances coming in against us.
Okay, I got a little confused there. My apologies. But I just remember watching that Wild Sens game, and it was so incredibly one-sided. But, man, was it close. I think they deserve to be where they are. I think they've done a great job this year, and they're continuing what they were doing last year. You could just tell that a couple of years ago there was something missing, and they went out and they sort of fixed it. So I'm happy about that. Let's get on to our hot topic. Oh, I apologize. I hit the mic there. We're going to talk a little bit about – we got Kaitlie Joseph joining us in about 5 to 10 minutes, but we're going to talk a little bit about NHL suspensions so far, because there's been a lot of them this week, and there was one that was given on Tuesday to Jason Spezza, a 6-game suspension for kneeing to the forehead. Yeah, I mean, Aaron, how do you feel about these suspensions? Can you name off a couple of them, and do you think they were justified?
Yeah, I mean, the two ones that are the talk of the town right now are the Pionk and Spezza. Pionk did a knee-to-knee hit on Rasmus Sandin, took Sandin out of the game. No call was made on the play, I believe, and now Pionk's out for 2 games, but that has to wait until he clears COVID protocol, because he later on in the game took a knee to the head from Jason Spezza, which was like a pretty, like it was a targeted hit to the head, intent to injure, not really a hockey play. So, yeah, 6 games I think is light for Spezza.
The dude was like on his knees. Like.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't have a stick. He was batting the puck with those gloves, and then just got drilled
by Spezza, who's not small. Spezza's a big guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, and he came in there with the intent of hitting him.
Oh yeah, like he drilled him, man. Spezza was. I don't know what was going through Spezza's mind. Spezza's a really calm, low-key kind of person, too. He's not that kind of person. He never been suspended in his career until now. And, I just want to mention, I called how many games he'd be suspended for.
You got that right.
I said he'd be suspended for 6 games because he's a vet and he shouldn't be doing that as a veteran. And, well, I wasn't exactly correct, but I got 6 games right. So. No, there's also been a McDavid hit on Adrian Kempe. He's aborting. It looks really, really bad. What can you guys think of that? You think there should be a suspension on that one? It's definitely a boarding call for sure.
No, I don't think so. That's just my opinion.
You don't think so, Greg?
No, I mean, it looked like a nothing play when you first, like when you see it like normally, and then you watch in slow motion, and it's like, oh yeah, that was bad. But
I mean,
I agree with the misconduct. Like, I think that's all it should have been. Like, there was no intent to injure, like, watching the video, in my opinion. He looked like he was just trying to just give him a little bump, and then it ended up being worse than a little bump, but...
Well, I want to ask Josh, because, Josh, you're not really a big hockey guy, and you don't know exactly the specifics to all the rules. What would you suspend that hit? Do you think that was a suspendable hit from a more fan perspective?
No, I don't think it was a suspendable hit. I think also the big thing is that, like, you don't want to suspend your face of the league with McDavid as well. Puts a bad look on the league. So I think he's going to kind of get away with the suspension. I definitely think the misconduct was deserved. It was a pretty bad boarding hit, but I don't think it was suspension worthy. I don't think it was like a targeted hit or anything like that. Like Greg said, it looked like you just tried to give him a little nudge to get the puck, and then the guy ended up just kind of flying face first into the board and potentially breaking a couple bones in his face.
We've got one more to talk about. We're going to talk about the Jujhar Kara hit that happened on Wednesday night. Kara just sort of coming out of the defensive zone. He's got his head down. He's really bent over. Just absolutely gets drilled by Jacob Trouba. Do you guys think that's a suspendable hit? Do you find it dirty? I personally do not. Greg seems to find it dirty. I kind of disagree.
I got nothing to really say right now. I'm trying to wrap this up. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
So for me, I don't think it was a suspendable hit because I think... it was just the offensive player's fault skating through with his head down. He didn't see the hit coming. Big body laid it out. I don't think it was any, like, he didn't lead it with his elbow. Sure, his shoulder was a little bit more into the hit than you might like, but I think it was more just the guy's head was down, and that's why he ended up unconscious.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a big hit, but I don't think it was a cheap, dirty hit. Not a suspension. I wouldn't mind it if they called just some sort of whistle on that play. But
they had to because he was out cold on the ground. But man, this is just a big hit. Like, he drove through though. Like, he also sort of left his front foot because he pushed off with his back foot. But there's still 1 foot on the ice when he makes contact with his head, and it was his first contact was with the chest. But that being said, I mean, it was definitely a big hit, right? So
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, this has been our NHL conversation and our hot topic. We've got Kaitlie Joseph joining us after
Kaitlie.
This. Kaitlie Joseph, my apologies. Kaitlie Joseph joining us after the break. So stick around, folks.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Welcome back to The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to The Press Box. I'm Tyler Sear, joined by Greg Avgaropoulos, Aaron Zerfus, and Josh McGrath-Segang. We've got Catley Joseph on the line here. Josh, you're going to want to start us off here?
Yeah, Catley, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Josh. How about you, man?
I'm doing well, dude. So thank you so much for joining us. First off, we really appreciate it. You are our first guest. So, yeah, we're very, very grateful to have you on, man. It's amazing. It's great, all the things you've done for Ottawa football. So first off, I'm just going to start, man. I know you're coming off a knee injury. So how's your recovery going? And, like, what are you exactly doing to get back on track to be back for next season?
Yeah, so, you know, the recovery is going well, you know, especially with knee injuries. Honestly, any type of injuries, you know, take it a day at a time. Don't try to rush it. Of course, it's going to help you out in the long run. What was the second question?
Like, what are you doing to get back on track? Like, I think you're working with New Era right now, correct?
Yeah. So I'm basically working with Limitless Era right now. So he's my trainer here. He's one of the top trainers in Canada, no doubt. So basically right now we're working on getting me back to 100%. So speed work, of course, we're lifting. And, just trying to get me back to 100%. So that's the type of training that gets me good, that gets me right for the season. And so I probably do it around three to four times per week. And man, it's hard work, but, you know, it's worth it in the long end, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so exactly what was the knee injury? Was it a tear in the knee, or was it just a mild sprain or anything like that?
Yeah. So unfortunately, it was a tear, meniscus tear. So it's not as bad, but, you know, it's still about a 5-month recovery period. So, you know, it was really, really, really unfortunate. Of course, you know, I was coming into my senior season. It happened during camp, towards the end of camp, to be more precise. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. You know, can't dwell in the past. You know, can only look forward now. So, I'm on month 3 right now. So 2 more months, and then I'll be set.
Dope, man. I'm glad to hear that. So one more thing I just wanted to ask before I toss it off to one of my co-hosts is, how do you feel about being an inspiration for the next generation of Ottawa football players? You know, you're one of the first guys really that comes out of Ottawa to go D1. There's only been a handful. So how do you feel about that? And what are you ever going to consider coming back to coach the next generation?
So, you know, honestly, thank you. Thank you for saying that. You know, it's a lot. Just the fact that you're telling me that, you're letting me know I'm doing something right, you know. When it comes to me and my journey, you know, it was truly one of a kind. I say that in the most humblest manner. You know, a lot of ups and downs, but, you know, by the grace of God, I was able to, you know, get myself a scholarship at the Division I level. So if I inspire the next generation, you know, that lets me know I'm doing something right, you know. You know, I've been taught by many, many coaches, but I'm going to say my mentor, Coach Jones, always gives back to the community, always gives back to the kids, because you know, they're the next gen. You know, they want to make sure they don't go through what you went through, right? So if they could use me as an outlet to, you know, make their dreams become possible, you know, that's a blessing for me. So of course, you know, coaching, I love doing it. Matter of fact, I coach here too whenever I'm in town. I help out with the kids. It varies in age, but honestly, I'm the type of guy that likes to spend time with them and let them know, you know, ultimately it's bigger than the sport, but, you know, coach them, train them, and push them to their limits, of course. And by doing that, you know, they're definitely, you know, happy. You make them happy. Not only that, you could tell that, you know, it brings a certain set of structure to their lives, you know, structure to their lives, like just in general, you know, in terms of training and stuff. So,
Catley, what age do you coach?
So it varies. So here's the thing. So right now, I help out with the Maroons Academy. It's run by Coach Jean. Coach Jean, I can give you a brief description of him. You know, he's a very, 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 very influential guy towards my life and many, many others. Sacrificed a lot, and not only that, you know, he's one of the first coaches to believe in me. So What he does is that he, of course, he's a high school coach here, but he gives back to the community. He has this academy where it's kids from, it varies, but it's usually kids from, I'm going to say from 7 years old-ish to like 12 years old. And we get them 3 times per week, and basically I help out. So whatever he wants me to do with the kids, whether it's, you know, teaching them how to, you know, how to have a proper back pedal or something as small as that, you know, or just making simple drills, I help them out. But also what I do is with the older guys, whenever I'm training myself, I tag them, I bring them along, and we get some work and we get a good training session, and that I just love as well too. So whenever it's helping out with the young guys, yeah, for me, you know, it doesn't matter, it's a blessing.
All right, so hello, sir. Obviously, we talked a little bit before, but I just want to know, like, what was the first thing that made you say, like, oh yeah, I want to play football when I'm older?
Yeah, so it's actually funny you say that, because I was actually thinking about that the other day. So with me, football was pretty, you know, I started playing it pretty late compared to a lot of my friends. I was like a big soccer guy, basketball guy, you know, and I remember just one day, when I was in elementary school, one of my classmates used to always tell me, "Yo, you should come play for the Bengals," and I was like in grade 5 at that time, and because we used to play a freestyle, you know, and then I used to like, you know, do all types of stuff, you know, I didn't know what I was doing exactly, but you know, I was fast and I was making plays, scoring all the time. So then the idea came and I joined. But when I joined in the fifth grade, I didn't understand much about the sport at all, honestly, you know. So it took a lot of, you know, it wasn't like when I first started, it wasn't as easy, of course. It was very, very hard. I didn't really understand the game. I didn't really watch the game, but I just knew that wherever the ball was, you know, I was going to try to make a play, you know, whether I'm on the defensive side or the offensive side. And then from there, my love for the game just became bigger, and I just started to watch. I remember Ladainian Tomlinson at that time, and I loved the way he played, and I looked up to him. And back then, I used to play running back, so I tried to, you know, my game was inspired through him, and then from there, my game expanded.
No, that's really interesting to hear, because obviously, as Josh said, I'm a big football fan, so I like to look into that stuff, like what people like look at when they're pressing a receiver or anything like that. But I just wanted to wonder, I don't know how much NFL or CFL or whatever you watch, I don't know if you watch any of that, but I just want to know if you model your game after anybody.
I won't say, but of course, you know, there's a lot of people I looked up to, right? Specifically right now, I like, of course, like the Jimmy Ramsey, the Jair Alexander, the Tre'Davious White. These are NFL guys, you know. And then at the CFL level, I have a couple friends here that I train with, actually, like Sherrod Baltimore. So, like, I always try to piece out and take a little bit and add it to my game, because I believe, you know, that's the way to get better, ultimately, you know. But ultimately, you know, when I line up, you know, I like showing different styles. I like mixing and matching. Of course, you know, you got to train for that. You have to put in time and effort, you know. But ultimately, once I step on the field, like, I know what I'm doing. I'm confident. You have to line up being confident in what you're doing and then just make a play, ultimately. I'm more of a press corner.
All right, so that's really interesting to hear, hearing from an actual football player, since all I do is watch football. But, yeah, that's cool to hear. But I'm going to throw you over to Aaron, because Aaron has a few more questions for you.
Yeah, right on. So, Kelly, I imagine from the States coming into Canada, so a little bit flip-flopped with you. But did you notice that there any difference between, like, football, obviously, in Maine being D1 versus, like, what you played in Canada in high school and all those prep schools you've done to?
Yeah. So 100% you'll see the difference. In the States, I always said that in the States, of course, it's not 3 downs. You know, it's 4 downs football. The field a little bit shorter. The end zone isn't as big. there's a lot, the ball is different. You know, there's a lot of things, like the game's a little bit faster down there. So there's a lot of things, you know, you need to adapt to once you get down there or vice versa. But ultimately, football is football. You know how we said it? As long as, you know, you show up, you know, on game day and you do what you got to do, then you'll be good. But you'll need to adapt, you know, in whichever game you play.
Yeah, so that whole, like, adaptation process went pretty smoothly for you?
Oh, yeah. So for me, like, honestly, I still remember when I first got to Maine, that was, like, really my first time playing under, like, American rules and everything. So the game is still similar, but, like, it was just a little bit different. So it took maybe, like, it didn't take that long, ultimately, because, as I said before, football is football, but, like, I came down in the spring, and, like, once I got the spring done in 2018, I remember it was spring 2018, I was set, and I was good, and I was comfortable in what I was doing. And then from there, as I said, you know, you need confidence when you play. So the confidence kicked in, and, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, Catley, I just got a couple more questions about the NCAA and what it was like, you know, sort of accomplishing a couple of your goals. I know that every time you accomplish one goal as an athlete, because I personally am also an athlete, and every time I accomplish something, I want to set a new one. I was just wondering what it was really like to finally be in the NCAA and just sort of realize where you are, what you're doing. Was it just an eye-opening moment? Was it a dream come true? Was it like, how did that feel for you?
Honestly, like, I love this question because, you know, I put a lot of time and effort into this, you know. So, and Josh will tell you, you know, waking up early, you know, staying late after school, you know, it's a lot of work, you know. And just to be able to be in a position I'm in, you know, being Canadian, you know, we're coming, you know, from a different country and then going to the States on a full scholarship, you know, you're not able to get a full scholarship for sports here in Canada, so... It was just definitely a blessing, you know, letting my family members, you know, my mom, my dad, you know, my brothers know that, you know, the work didn't go to waste, you know, and I was just grateful enough to get this opportunity. So definitely, I was definitely happy when I got my first offer, and I promised that day that I'll make the most out of this, basically. And,
of course. Well, we're running a little bit low on time here, so... this is going to be probably the last question. If you weren't a football player, what else would you like to be, and how do you think you would achieve those goals in the future to be something other than a football player right now?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great question. If I wasn't a football player, for me, 100%, I would go into the teaching field. The reason why is because, for one, I always loved helping. For two, I always want to inspire the younger generation, because, of course, through meeting my mentor, Coach John, I realized how important education is, and if I could have an impact on the youth coming up, and at the same time structuring them for them to understand the situation that they're in and make the most out of it, then I would do it. And teaching is, in a sense, it's giving back. You know, you're spending a lot of time. With these individuals, with these kids, with your students. So it's like, at the same time, whatever I'm like, it's as if I'm coaching, but instead I'm teaching in the classroom. So that's definitely one thing I would definitely be doing if it wasn't for football right now.
Perfect. Well, Callie, just before you go, do you have any last remarks for the fans listening?
So for the young football players, I'm going to tell you, I touched on it a little bit, but I'm going to just expand on it real quick. You know, ultimately, you know, the game of football is a lovely game and everything, but it's going to come with a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication. And most importantly, please understand the role that education plays into it, you know. If you don't do what's necessary, if you don't have the grades, then your hope of going at any level will be short. Probably not going to happen, because just to get to that level, you need a certain, you know, there's requirements. So if you don't pass those requirements, of course, then your dreams might not happen. So Of course, just to take education very seriously as much as football, because ultimately, if you don't take care of that, then whatever you do on the foot, whatever you do on the field, won't really have no impact. So,
absolutely. Well, Catley, thank you so much for joining us, man. I really appreciate it. I hope that we can see each other soon. I know you're back in Ottawa. How long are you in Ottawa for?
A couple more weeks.
All right. Well, let's try and grab some dinner, and we'll be good to go. And, yeah, man, thanks again for joining us. Really appreciate that, man.
Thank you guys for having me on your platform. Appreciate that.
No problem, man. Thank you. Have a good one, Kat.
All right. You too.
That was Catley Joseph of the D1 NCAA University of Maine, cornerback and defensive back. Very, very happy to have him join us today. That's it for our show today. Greg's had to leave. He wasn't feeling too well, so he left a little bit early. But, you know, he still got his questions in. And we want to thank everyone for listening to the show. I'm Tyler Sear.
Aaron.
We got it. Someone say Jinx.
It's Aaron. Aaron Zerfus here.
And Josh McGrath Sege.
We want to thank you for listening to the Press Box. Tune in to our shows every Thursday at 1 o'clock and every Saturday at 11 a.m. We have a Christmas special coming up for you, too. That's going to come out next week. It's going to play 5 times during the Christmas break for you college students. It's going to be a 3-hour show. We've got 3 big guests for us. We got Dan Tessier, 1999 Memorial Cup winner. Josh, our other two guests.
We have Willie-Pierre Dembonge. He is a player at Ottawa U right now, wide receiver. And we have Isaiah Pemberton from the Western University, an Ottawa basketball native.
So be sure to tune into next week's show. If you miss next week's show, that's okay. It plays every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Check our social medias, Instagram, at the Press Box for some times and to just really see when our shows are and maybe see some valuable information. But from now on, I'm Tyler, joined by Aaron, Greg, and Josh, signing off. Thank you for listening, everybody.